Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. We have the foreign ambassadors in India and Iran, Dr. Barbara Gilmore. All right. She'll be here. We have the foreign ambassador to the South African elite, like the divine holy.
Praise the Lord, I'm here.
Thank you. We have the prime ambassador. And we all not going to come off the loop like that. We have the prime ambassador to South America. And Dr. Karen and Russ.
I'm here.
Thank you, gentlemen. We have the prime ambassador. To Mexico, Dr. Sean Gray. Then we have the climate of Southeast Asia and England and Indonesia, Dr. Janet Murphy.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Then we have the climate of North and South Japan and India. You heard that about the junior
head.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we have the prime minister to Iraq, Dr. Jamia Spine. Thank you.
President.
Thank God. Then we have the prime minister praying for, Guatemala and praying for Guatemala. Dr. Chris Johnson, you know he's in the hospital. He may not be in that answer, but he'll be here. Then we have the prayer ambassador praying for New Zealand, Dr. Ryan Richardson. Then we have the prayer ambassador France and Trinidad. I don't know if she's in the hospital. But it's just about the Wyoming Power. And then what about things for Syria? Dr. Lillian Bush. Well, thank God for all the prayer ambassadors that are here. Did I miss anyone? If you're on the line, if you care to identify yourself and tell us what you're praying for. The line is open to you.
Yes. And that's exactly to keep the spirit from Sydney, Jersey. Who's really North Korea, South Korea, Spain.
That's right. North and South Korea. Dr. Felicia Spear.
Oh.
All right.
Dr. Gildersleeve from Chicago, Illinois. Got all late. Praying for the Bahamas, India.
All right. Dr. Gildersleeve, praying for the Bahamas and India. Beautiful. All right, anyone else? We can identify yourself. Thank you, Jesus. I want to listen by yourself. Thank you, the Lord. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we keep the blood of Jesus just for a minute? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
blood of Jesus. Blood, the blood, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of
Jesus. We believe you, Lord. We believe you.
We believe you, Lord.
We believe you, Lord.
We believe you, Lord.
Thank God bless all of you today on the line. We praise God for you. I'm going to ask Dr. Lucio Angelo. Would you pray a prayer for us this morning? Pray a general prayer for us. Dr. Lucio Angelo, go ahead. Amen.
Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for all that you do for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this prayer line, all the saints on the prayer line, Ambassador Johnson, Lady Betty, Mother Stern, all the saints, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we asking you to touch each and every one of us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord. Bless us with the things that we need, Lord. Take care of us, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. All right, Tim Rudden, you and prayer masters will have a scripture. Why don't you give me a scripture now? In the name of Jesus.
This is Betty Johnson. And I have a scripture this morning from the 150th Division of Psalms.
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That was the 150th Division of Psalms, first and second verses.
All right. Someone else?
Dr. Lucio Angelo, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Prayer by Dr. Jeanette Murphy. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's a good one, too. And then, anyone else on the scripture?
Ambassador, Dr. Deborah Johnson. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:14-16.
All right. God bless you. I'm going to ask everybody now. Demetria Line, if you would. We're all over the front line or meeting online. Amen. I appreciate you. But if you would, Demetria Line, appreciate it. Thank you very much. We're asking them on the board to meet all the lines. And when they get ready to unmute the line and come on and say something, we're asking you to let them get star. And come back on and say something. Amen. I want to read this for you here. All of you have heard this, and many of you know it by heart.
It says here in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, excuse me, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to just try to exegete this for you in the name of Jesus and praying that it would be a blessing to all of our hearts. Amen. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles 12 and 14, if my people, if here is a contingency, meaning that you don't have to do it, but if you make a decision to do it, it will be a blessing to you. If here says that God will use prerogative to do good things or to make a decision to even do bad things. In other words, you can follow his divine will or you can follow his permissive will. It says he gives you prerogative. If, amen, whatever you decide to do, distinguishes what you choose in life. There is a choice. Here. Amen. And then it says, if who? He distinguishes who he's talking to. He says, if my people. Amen. There are no names here. And so that simply means that he opens it up to all of his people. And I hear young people saying, don't get it twisted. Amen. So to keep us from getting it twisted, he says, my people. And then he goes on further to distinguish who he's talking to even more. He says, which are called by my name. Now, there are a lot of people in America, a lot of people in the world. But let me tell you something. When you take the percentage of those who are called by his name, that's really a remnant and few and in between who are called by his name. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, he says, I want you to know who I'm talking about. The ones who are called by my name. Now, what name are we talking about? May I help you? We're talking about the name of Christ. Amen. C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. And throughout the ages, they put on there eons, which means those who belong to Christ, the children who belong to Christ. Christians. Eons. Christians, and those are, God distinguishes them and says, those are the ones I'm really talking about this morning. Those who are called by my name. And he wants to get it straight from the beginning that he's talking of who he's talking to. And he's talking to the eons, the Christians, which are called by his name, the children of the Lord. Amen. Are you a child of the King? And he's talking about you, and he's talking to you. I wonder, can my people, my boy, just mute my line? And I appreciate it very much. He's talking to you. If my people, the ones who are called by my name, and then after he tries to get it straight of who he's talking to, so people will understand who he's talking to. He gives the instructions. What are the instructions? Four things he's asking us to do. First of all, he says, I want you to humble yourself. And secondly, I want you to pray. And thirdly, I want you to seek my face. And fourthly, turn from your wicked ways. Let me repeat that. First, he's talking to the Christians, and he asks all of us to do four things. Number one, to humble ourselves. Number two, asking us to pray as we're doing on this prayer line. Number three, seek the Lord's face. And number four, turn from our wicked ways. And after that, he gives us some ultimatums right there. Let me deal with all four of those things he's asking us to do. He's asking us, his people, the children of the king, to do four things. Number one, humble ourselves. This is so very, very, very important. I keep preaching to you. When you see arrogance, a person who is extremely arrogant, it's not of God, it's of the devil. Look back in the beginning when Satan was in heaven. He was so arrogant, he thought he could take over heaven and take over God's spot. That's a terrible arrogance from someone. And he failed and got kicked out of heaven and got cast out of heaven and fell down here on the earth, the Bible says. And so that same devil who was so arrogant in heaven and now down here on this earth. And what do you see everywhere you turn? Arrogance. People are so arrogant. You know, it's just terrible how arrogant people are. They teach arrogance in the world. And look at the folks who are dancing all in the world, doing worldly dances. Look on their faces. Arrogance. They dance with arrogance. They look around with arrogance. You always hear them, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Yeah, I'm greater than that, you know. Not no God anywhere. They never give him any glory for what he's done. Because everything they have, God gave them. Everything they know, God taught them. Where they come from, God brought them. And where they're going, God's going to take them if they're going anywhere. But they can't go like they're going with this arrogance. See, the Bible tells us that God, the Lord, is meek and humble as a lamb. Why would you think he's sitting up in heaven as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords already on a great throne beside his Father? And the Father needs somebody to come down here because of all the mess that we've done here on the earth. And he's humble enough to step up to the plate and say, Father, I'll go. Come through 42 generations. Come down here to fool with these crazy folk down here. These crazy folk come against him and lie on him and march him from judgment hall to judgment hall and then condemn him to die, put him on that cross, nail his hands and feet and stretched him wide and dropped him low and then hung him on that cross and till he gave up the ghost on the cross. And when he gave up the ghost, it was so important. He was saying, I know y'all hollering now that I died, but the word in the synoptic gospel says that I gave up the ghost. And this is very important because it says that I laid down my life. No man took it. Not hell, not death, not the grave, not Satan. I laid my life down. I gave up the ghost. Why is that so important? That means that since I gave up my life, that means that I can pick it back up. And he decided to pick it back up on the third day. Amen. No grave, hell, or Satan could hold his body down. He got up on the third day and rose with all power, not some power, with all power in his hand. The women all around that area went to the grave site on the after he rose looking for his body, but he was gone. And thank God for the women. They got excited and started telling everybody everywhere, he's risen. I can hear him now. He's risen! Oh, he's risen! See, if it hadn't been the men, they wouldn't have told many people about Jesus being risen from the grave, but they wouldn't have picked it up. Let me tell you, he's so meek and humble as a lamb. He gave his life up. Amen. He picked it back up, meek and humble. So Jesus was so meek and humble then, he's meek and humble now. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And that's what he wants us to do, humble ourselves. Amen. We don't have to take up the cross because he already did it. But we have to watch our spirits, how we are perceived in this life. We don't want to have the spirit of Satan trying to have a takeover spirit, trying to be arrogant and everything else. We want to have a humble spirit. Amen. To be able to lace somebody's feet. No wonder some churches still do this, and thank God for them. They have foot washing. And you take your shoes off, take your socks off, they have water, and they'll wash your feet. Amen. They have each of the saints wash somebody else's feet. It's a sign of Christ. It's a sign of humility. Amen. If you hear me on the prayer line, can you mute my board? Mute it. Mute everybody out. Amen. I hate that some people have to pay because of one inconvenience. Well, God bless you. Anyway, if you will humble yourself. And then he says, and if you do a second thing, number two, if you will pray. Amen. I think if I ask everybody on the prayer line this morning, how many of you believe in prayer? I believe every hand will go up because, you know, prayer changes things. But the Lord says, if you're not a humble, not only humble yourself, but if you will pray, something will happen. I'm a witness that it does happen. I think I heard, who was it, on the front line, who was telling about they had gout yesterday, and their brother prayed for them, and something happened. Amen. Something happened. The Bible says men ought to always pray and not faint. This is very, very important that we pray. And when we pray, not only ask God for things, but thank him for what he's already done. See, that's what we were lacking several years ago when first food came on and when the Lord gave me to thank him so much. Amen. I was going from Florida back to Fort Worth, Texas. And I said, Lord, you've been so good. I'd thank you 1,000 times if I could. And I tried to go to sleep, and the Holy Ghost woke me up and said, why don't you? And that day I thanked him 1,000 times or more. Amen. And a lot of people across the country have already picked that up. Amen. Thanking God 1,000 times a day. Some people, like Bishop Stern, is thanking 10,000 times in one day. Dr. Freddie Cullins, I believe she thanks him every day 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 times a day. And it's so amazing if we'll pray, and our prayer not only be a prayer of asking. I know asking shall be given. I know you have not because you ask not. But he's already done so many things for us. We ought not to forget to praise him also. So pray, amen. And then seek my face, amen. Let's talk about the Lord's face, not your face. Don't get it twisted. He's not talking about seeking your own face. He's talking about seeking his face. The Lord, God of heaven, is speaking here. He wants you to seek his face. That's what's happening with the world, amen. We got this thing so twisted. We're seeking the face of the enemy, the devil, amen. Look all around you. Look on TV every day. You don't hear folks seeking God's face. They're seeking the faces in Hollywood. That's the devil's face because it's man rather than God. Yeah, seeking the face of football players and seeking the face of basketball players and soccer players and baseball players and sports figures everywhere seeking their face. In other words, you're trying to be important in that right and not the right of being a Christian. Amen. Don't seek the faces of men because the Bible tells us, put your confidence in no man, put your confidence in God. Amen. Seek his face. Let him be important to you, not the basketball players, football players, sports figures, not Hollywood, not any politicians. Amen. Thank God in their own perspective, right? What they do, thank God for them. But you don't make them number one on your pedestal, number one on your priority list. Don't seek their face. See, that's why God won't answer some of y'all now. You seeking mama's face, seeking your brother's face, or seeking your sister's face. It's all right to get their opinion after you go to the Lord. Don't make him second or third after you go to your brother or sister. Seek his face first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek his face. Make him more important than anybody on the face of this earth. Make him more important than anything you are ever doing. And you'll see God do thing for you like never before. He'll open up doors that have never been opened in your life, in Jesus' name. Can you hear me on the prayer line? Can you mute my line, please? Amen. Keep the Lord's face. Amen. I'm trying to get that message over to my board here. Mute all the lines. Amen. Not only seek his face, but if you would do this, in the name of Jesus, if you would not only humble yourself, if you would not only pray, if you would not only seek the Lord's face, but fourthly, if you would turn from your wicked ways. Yeah, all of us turn from our wicked ways. And then everybody's got a problem. Amen. I know you've been saved years ago, been saved all day. No evil have I done. But let me tell you something. You don't know all the evil things in this world. And it's not only what you do, but what it's your, it's also what you don't do. Yeah. None of us, except the Lord Jesus Christ, has ever been perfect since birth. Amen. You've done finesse on this earth. Before you got saved and after you got saved, you still have done some things that were not in perspective to Christianity. How do I know? Because the Bible says it. Look in 1 John 1:8. If you say that you haven't sinned, you deceive yourself. And this is talking to Christians. You deceive yourself. You don't know the Lord like they knew him there in 1 John 1:8. And the truth is not in you. And then he says, God who wrote the Bible says in 1 John 1:10, if you say that you have not sinned, talking to Christians, you make God a liar, and his word is not in you. But 1 John 1:9, gets it on. He says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then he'll cleanse us from all righteousness. But we have to go to God and say, Lord, we've messed up. I keep telling y'all that some of y'all can't go to God and ask him for one chance because you already had it. You can't go to God and ask him for the second chance, the third chance, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, and tenth chance. The only thing you can do now is go to God and say, Lord, give me another chance, please, another chance. That's what you can ask him. Lord, give me another chance. And he will forgive, and he will bless you and help you if you go to him like that. I often remind people when I get on my knees here to get my messages that are in the word from God, I first of all tell them, Lord, I don't know nothing. You've helped me so many times. and I need you to help me again. Please. I don't know nothing. Give me another chance, Lord. And would you show me what the text means? I want to exegete it like you want me to exegete it. And I want to say what you want me to say. So if we will turn from our wicked ways, the ways of the people here in the world have become so wicked. Satan is down here. He fell from heaven down here to earth, and he's trying his best to take over the earth as he was trying to take over the heavens. Couldn't do it there, failed up in heaven, and now he's down here trying to take over the earth. But the Bible says his fate is sealed. He's going to fall down here too. Oh, my God. I said he's going to fall down here. See, he failed in heaven. Oh, my God. Failed. Amen. And then he's going to fail down here on earth. How do you know that? Because I read it over in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Let me see if I can go that for you. I don't want to take too much time cross-referencing here today. But I think I need to go there for you and see if I can get that. Amen. The 20th chapter of Revelation. And the first verse tells us that he failed down here. Amen. And it says in the first verse, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. Now, an angel has to be one angel. One angel, and you know the angel here now because all the other angels that fell are already down here. So this angel comes down from heaven. He's of the Lord. Amen. And he has the key of the bottomless pit. That's what he's going to have when he comes down. He's going to have the key to the bottomless pit. And then it says, and a great chain in his hand. Now, what are you going to do with this key to the bottomless pit and the great chain you got? The second verse, and I'm in Revelation, the 20th chapter. Now the second verse, it says, and he laid hands, and he laid hold on the dragon. Now, who is the dragon? That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. That's who it is. He lays hold on Satan, the devil. And what did he do? And he bound him 1,000 years. Okay? And then when I read on down, it tells me that he was cast into the bottomless pit of fire. Amen. I don't know. Some of you may think that God is going to create a total hell with bottomless pit that's full of fire and brimstone. But I'm kind of like this. I believe he only has it. And I want to prove it to you. Scientists have discovered that if you go down in this earth far enough, you know what, you're not going to hit dirt like most of y'all hitting if you go down a little bit. But if you go down far enough, you know what you'll run into? You will run into fire. And you'll run into fire that's about, well, he's going to heat it up even 7 times hotter and throw the devil into hell. But there's fire right in the middle of this earth that we live on, proven by so many volcanoes. Why do you think, what is it, Mount Helens, the volcanoes over there by Hawaii, and then volcanoes all around America. But when those volcanoes blow their top, what do you think happens? What happens is that the fire underneath the volcano in the middle of several thousand feet down in the earth, so that fire becomes so erupts so until it somehow there a crack in the earth comes, and that crack allows that all that pressure built up. It builds up in the middle of the earth. It builds up, and after a while, it blows its top, like somebody who gets angry and just blows their top. These volcanoes or this fire that's already It's already in the earth. Already. If you go down far enough, you'll run into fire. Yeah. It's already down there. And it builds up pressure. And after a while, boom, it blows. It's tough. And volcanoes spew out all kinds of hot heat like never before. It's lava. It can destroy a whole city. And that's what they're afraid of now. They're afraid of some volcanoes are going to blow, and that stuff that goes up thousands of feet in the air will come down and destroy entire cities. I'm telling you, God is so ultra-awesome. He already has enough fire in this earth that he really doesn't have to make another hell, because there's enough fire in the middle of the earth, he can just open the earth up. And you think that's impossible? Look at what he did. I believe Exodus, there were some people who came against Moses, and God told them to stand by their tents, and he told his people, his remnant, the children of Israel, don't go close to them, don't get close to them. Why? Because the earth is going to open up and go swallow them up. What happened? The earth opened up and swallowed those people up, and they went down into the earth. Let me tell you, God can open up this earth. He's that great. He can open up the earth and let people be swallowed up down into the earth. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but let me tell you, if he wanted to, there's enough fire right now in the middle of the earth that will destroy the whole world if he decided to. He can open up the earth and let the whole America go down into that bottomless pit if he wanted to. Let me tell you, be careful with God. God is so magnitudinous. He sits high and he looks low, and he has power to do anything he wants to do. And we have to be careful. But if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, listen, that might be, I'm not saying exactly this, but I'm saying it might be why we are going through this epidemic that we're going through right now with this coronavirus and the Delta virus now. See, we thought we were over it with the Corona-19, but then the Delta came up, and it seems to be worse than the other virus that we were experiencing. God is trying to get our attention. He wants us to humble ourselves and pray and stop doing what we're doing in the name of Jesus. It's very, very, very important that we would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. Then he gives us what will happen if we do. Now I do like that. So many things I like about the Lord. But that's one thing I really appreciate about him. Because not only does he give us ultimatums that will help us if we will humble ourselves and pray, and if we would seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then he says, then we will hear from heaven. See, he's not telling us to do stuff without awarding us or rewarding us. He says there's some good that will come out of it if we will obey him, if we'll humble ourselves. First of all, if we'll humble ourselves. And secondly, if we'll pray. And third, if we will seek his face. Don't get it twisted and start seeking the devil's face. So that's why the Bible tells us that we ought to reach forth to the things that are for us and forget the things that are behind, because those things behind us will mess us up. That has us seeking the devil's face. If we do that, we'll be messing up our lives. Don't seek the devil's face. Forget those things. It's not telling us to forget the good things that God has done for us. It's not telling us to forget the miracles that have happened in all of our lives. It's telling us to remember those things, but it's telling us to forget the sins that we had and we were involved in the world. and now reach forward to remember the things that God is doing for all of us. Amen. Then he says, if we will do that, then we will hear from heaven. Here's the blessing that comes out of, what are the blessings that come from humbling yourself, first of all? What are the blessings that come out of praying, second? The third, what are the blessings that come out of turning from your wicked ways? What are the blessings that come from if you will do all four of those things, if you will humble yourself? What are the blessings that come from humbling yourself, praying, seeking God's face, and turning from your wicked ways? Is there anything wicked when we do all four of those things? Yes. Here's what we get. We'll hear from heaven. Now, I can stop right there. That's enough by itself to hear from heaven. Where do all of your blessings come from? They come from God in heaven. In other words, you're going to hear from heaven. But now, let me just back up just for a moment. It says, then will I hear from heaven. Not only will we hear from heaven, but God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost are going to get together on this thing. Then will I hear from heaven? What are you saying, Chief? I'm trying to tell you, and cross-referencing, I'm trying to tell you that in 1 John, I believe, 1:7, it tells us that there are three, 1 John 5:7, it says that there are three that agree in heaven. And I was wondering why it says, then will I hear from heaven? I know we're going to hear from heaven. I know that's going to be a blessing. But it says, then if you do these four things, then will I hear from heaven. Why does it say that? God said, ain't nothing that Jesus is going to do without the Father. They work together. And nothing the Father is going to do without the Son. When it says I, it's talking about Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And nothing the Holy Spirit is going to do without the Father and the Word, which is Jesus. Amen. They work together. That's, the Bible tells us over there in 1 John 5:7 that three agree in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They work together. You don't see in the New Testament, you don't see Jesus just doing anything without the Father. And you see the Father didn't do anything without the Son. When he needed somebody to go down to redeem us from sin, he didn't do it without the Son. He asked the Son, did he go? And now the Son refers back to the Father. Yeah, the Father has sent me. He's not trying to take any of his Father's glory. No, they work together. So the glory belongs not only to him, but it belongs to his Father and also through the Holy Spirit. Then will I hear? He says he's not going to do nothing without having the Father and the Son. I hear from heaven. The Father is up in heaven, and Jesus ascended back to heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit back to us here on the earth that it might dwell in us. But he's not doing nothing without checking with the Holy Spirit and checking with the Father. And the Father's not doing nothing without checking with Jesus and checking with the Holy Spirit. That's what they mean. Then I will hear from heaven. In other words, I'm going to check with heaven. And if heaven and I agree, God says, my Son, and if the Holy Spirit agree, then he says, then will I hear from heaven? And then I'm going to do this. We're going to forgive the sins of man. What did Jesus do? Die on the cross. And now we have been forgiven if we go to him and ask him, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. He says this. And then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. But now let me tell you something. God doesn't forgive sins by himself. God forgives sins through Jesus, his Son. And Jesus doesn't forgive sins by himself. He forgives sins through the Holy Spirit. Spirit, they all work together to forgive sin here on earth. Amen. And it's done through the Son, through the Father, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says he'll forgive sins. And then the last thing, he says he's going to heal our land. Amen. Does anybody on this line believe that our land needs healing? It really needs healing, folks. Everywhere. It needs healing everywhere. Everywhere we look, there's sickness all over our land. There's trouble all over our land. There's coronavirus all over our land, all over the world. There's people who are going through jealousy, people who've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. Some people have gone through so much on this earth. They've been wounded. They've been bruised. Our land needs to be healed. Oh, my God, healed everywhere. I was just looking at the news just a little bit this morning before I came to you, and I saw where there are many, many of the refugees who are coming from Mexico into America. They're trying to figure out how to stop it. Why are they fleeing to America? Because their land down there needs healing. America needs healing. India needs healing. Africa needs healing. I can name every continent. We all need healing everywhere. Oh, my God. We need to be healed. And the only one who can really heal is the Lord. Amen. Maybe he'll heal it like it did through Moses. Moses was raised by God, went to the Pharaoh, who was the head honcho in the land of Egypt. He was the king. Whenever he said anything, everything he said went. He had a man who was a henchman standing in his court. And if he gave him the signal, if anybody came before him and said anything that he didn't like, he just gave him the signal. And they would grab him and put him on a kind of like a tree stump, throw him down and then chop his head off. Amen. But God sent Moses unto that chief honcho, that king, and told him to let his people go. And let me tell you, he went before him 10 times. And even though he could kill anybody else, he couldn't kill Moses. He was a major prophet, and he was a man of God. I'm just telling you the word. He could not kill him. Why? Because God had sent him, and he was a major prophet. God sent him, and he was on an assignment. I could prove it to you by Jonah and by Moses, both of them, that if you're on God's assignment, the devil cannot kill you while you're on God's assignment. And let me tell you, Jonah prayed to die and couldn't die because God had sent him on his assignment. Let me tell you something. Was Moses in the land of Egypt, and God said, let his people go. And God had to prove himself to the Pharaoh. He said, he turned all the water into blood. And then he sent lice. And then he sent swarms of flies. Then he sent locusts. And then he sent a great moraine. That means that's a death upon the animals. He did all that. And every time that Pharaoh attended and went to said to Moses, I'm sorry. I will let him go. I let God's people go and worship him. Every time he repented, God told Moses to stretch out his rod. And every time he stretched out his rod, God reversed the curse. Oh, my God. I hope y'all are seeing what I'm telling you. I'm getting ready to close. God reversed the curse. Yeah, he reversed the curse every time. Listen, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. May I just try to help you and interpret this and put it on your plate. Then he says, then will I reverse the curse. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will reverse the curse. I will forgive their sin, and I will reverse the curse. And I will heal their land. Let me tell you something. God told Moses to stretch out his rod. And every time the people repented. Every time the Pharaoh repented, every time he said, I'm sorry, Lord, and really meant it. God told Moses to stretch out his rod, and God reversed the curse. Listen, God, here in America, we're going through things where we need God to fix them. I'm telling you, he can fix them. I was in a crusade in Tennessee. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of the city. But I was a special guest for the James Robinson Crusade. And I never forget the minister of music came to me when we were getting ready to do that crusade. It was Chattanooga, Tennessee. We were getting ready to do the crusade. And there were clouds that gathered all around the stadium. Now, this was an open stadium. It had no roof over it. But this open stadium, the clouds, you can look up at the sky. It was dark everywhere. And then it got really, really, really dark all around Chattanooga. You just knew it was going to storm really bad because the clouds were so dark. But all glory be to God. I'm just trying to tell you what happened. I'm not trying to get any God's glory. I'm just going to tell you what happened. John McKay, who is the minister of music for James Robinson's crusade, he came to me and he said, Bernard, we need you to do something very, very, very daring and very special. I said, what is it? He said, would you go out on the stage and take your horn with you, and would you start playing right there in the middle of the stage? We'd appreciate it if you would. And he was talking for James Robinson as well as himself. And I said, sure, I'll do that. And I got my horn, and I went out in the middle of the stage. I'm headed somewhere, stick with me. Went out in the middle of the stage, and the Holy Spirit led me to start playing Amazing Grace. And I began to go that Amazing Grace. I played it two or three times. And they told me what happened because I had my eyes closed. I wasn't worried about the storm. I wasn't worried about any type of hurricane or anything. All I was thinking about was Jesus, knowing the Amazing Grace. And they told me that, Dr. Johnson, after you went out on the stage and started playing Amazing Grace, did you see what happened? I said, no, I had my eyes closed. John McKay told me, he said, the skies parted, Bernard. They parted, man. And all those dark clouds parted and went away. And the bright sunshine, look now. You can see it, Dr. Johnson. Look now. And I looked, and they were right. The sun was shining everywhere. And those dark clouds had parted. They went all around Chattanooga, maybe 2 or 3 miles, 1 or 2 miles. I don't know how far it was, but they went around Chattanooga, and it stormed everywhere around Chattanooga. But not one drop of rain fell on that open stadium where the crusade was being held. James Robinson preached that night, and when he preached, about 400 people came to Jesus Christ. It was a great, great night. All I'm trying to tell you that God can do anything. I know this coronavirus has taken thousands and perhaps almost a million people. Yeah, has taken all those people and they died. They're still dying everywhere. But let me tell you, he can speak, and I couldn't do this unless he does, unless he said it. But not only me, he could speak to somebody on this earth and tell them, stretch out your rod. And God can use that rod, and he can tell the coronavirus, leave the earth. And he's the one who made it. It would have to leave the earth. He could tell the coronavirus, the Delta strain, leave the earth. And he would have to get his hat and get the stepping and step out of here. Let me tell you something. This God we serve is able to be exceeding abundantly above all we ask to even think. And let me leave you by telling you this. If my people, which are called by his name, the name of the Lord, Christians, should humble themselves, if they would pray, and if they would seek God's face, and if they would turn from their wicked ways, the Bible can't be no lie. It says, then will God hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. And he says, we'll forgive your sins we will humble, we will heal your land. Let me tell you, if we get a president, and I think we got one now, who will hear the cry of the Lord and lead the people all around the world into a word of prayer. If we can get not a press conference to tell us about the coronavirus and what it is doing now, but if we had a press conference from our president who says, listen, today we're not going to give you a report on the coronavirus, but we want everybody in America to bow your heads with me and let me lead you in a word of prayer. And he had all of us to bow, and he began to pray. And we were on the, he was on the cameras across the world showing that he was leading America in a word of prayer. And he would tell God that we're sorry for all of our sins. We're sorry that we have let things in America become our gods. We're making America, we're making gods out of everything under the sun. But we're not giving you any glory for anything you've done. If we had a president who would humble himself and say, God, Jehovah is God, and he's the only true and living God. If we had a president who would humble himself and lead America in prayer and lead America into seeking God's faith and not lead America into making everything around America important, sports figures and Hollywood and all those other things important. If we had a president who would lead us into seeking God's face, and if we had a president who would ask everybody to turn from their wicked ways, then would God hear from heaven? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost would agree. He would forgive the sin, and God would speak and tell Corona to get out of here, and he would heal the land. Oh, my God. God bless you. I got to go in the name of Jesus. But hopefully I've helped you a little bit today, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by the name of the Lord, would humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Then we would hear from heaven and he would forgive our sin and heal the land. Thank God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what you've done and for what you're going to do. Here, I pray, God, forgive us of our sins and return from our wicked ways. We seek your face in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to heal our land in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for what you're going to do, and thank you for how you're going to do it. Bless the people instead of curse them. I pray, get their attention. No. That you're the one who made the heavens and the earth. And you want people to worship you instead of things on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Thank you. You want us to worship you rather than houses, rather than cars, rather than land, rather than bank accounts, rather than people in Hollywood, rather than people who are sports figures, anything that on this earth we made out of God. God, you're the only true and living God. We apologize to you. Thank you for what you've done. We love you, Lord, and we praise you for what you've done today. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen, amen. God bless you. Got to go. Don't forget, we're reading through the whole Bible. Amen. We started in Genesis 1:1. Tell us, Dr. Collins, where we're reading now. And we'll try.
Yes, sir. We are in the book of Daniel, and we're reading chapter 7, 8, and 9 on today.
7, 8, and 9. What a powerful book.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, the book of Daniel. It's in the Old Testament. We're reading that. God bless you. All right, Dr. Anita Fryson, are you still on the line? Can you tell us when the all-night shut-in will be?
Yes, Wednesday, September the 22nd.
All right.
All night shut-in,
September 22nd. Thank you. And may I get a word on the youth prayer line? And let me tell you, last night we had such a time on the youth prayer line. Mm-hmm. I wish, if you haven't gotten your young people on there, you really are missing something tremendous. The new prayer line is helping young people. That's why they were pleading the blood of Jesus. They plead the blood of Jesus for about a minute. They say thank you, Jesus, for about a whole minute. So you have young people doing that anywhere on the earth. They got them trying to try liquor, trying to try drugs and alcohol, or trying to be all that in the bag of chips with arrogance everywhere. We're trying to help you, young people. If you haven't got them on there, something's wrong with you. If you don't get your grandchildren on there and your children, the enemy's trying to do you like he did folks up in heaven. He bamboozled one-third of the heavenly host and used witchcraft to keep them from doing what God wanted them to do. He's trying to use witchcraft on this earth. He may be trying to use it on you. If you got children or grandchildren and you haven't got them on that youth prayer line, so watch it, that the devil's not trying to bamboozle you and hoodwink you. Because anybody who comes on that can see it's of God. God is blessing those young people. And God made many of them prayer ambassadors. So I'm trying to encourage you, get your young people on there. You know, a church that has young people, get them on that youth prayer line. They'll be blessed. Powerful. You should have heard those young people saying, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. They were shouting the blood of Jesus. You should have heard them saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They were shouting, thank you, Jesus. Where you find that? Where you find it? I didn't find it nowhere else except like that, like what we heard last night, except on the youth prayer line, where these youth prayer ambassadors were. I mentioned to them, we had had one youth prayer ambassador, or one young person, rather. I don't know if they were youth prayer ambassadors, but they were kidnapped. The young lady was kidnapped. And I got on the radio, on the phone, and called some people, and they called the youth prayer ambassadors. And those kids prayed. And instead of that person who had been kidnapped, you know people who kidnap folks, they like to kill them because they don't want them to put them in prison. And they're the ones who could identify. But these young people prayed, and that kidnapper, some way, that person who was kidnapped got away. And now they're back with their mother and back with their father. These young people are powerful. They prayed on that youth prayer line until God delivered that person out of bondage. And now they're back with their parents. I want to thank God for all four of those host sisters who lead the prayer line, Dr. Sheila Brown, and Dr. Marvin Gillespie, Dr. Gracie Emanuel, and Dr. Taisha Steele. They're doing a wonderful job. Next Thursday at 7 o'clock, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Next Thursday at 7 o'clock, have the young people on there. It will help you. You've been having any problems, get them on the youth prayer line. I'm talking about problems with your young people. Get them on there.
Amen.
You know, we'll get Jesus in them. Amen. If they desire the Lord come in their heart. God bless all you today. Amen. I appreciate it. They did a salute last night. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Did a salute to your chief and to First Lady. We appreciate that. Amen. Are you there, Dr. Sheila Brown? You want to say a word? All right, go ahead, Dr. Gillespie, if you want to say a word.
Oh, that's Chief, you said it all. He said it all. And yes, the children, they are just, they're doing a wonderful job for the Lord. And it's just beautiful to hear the children pleading the blood and saying, thank you, Jesus, that they are our future. And we just thank the Lord for them. And everyone is welcome every Thursday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And you have a joyous time. Amen.
Thanks. And they are praying for each other. Young people are praying each other. And they're giving praise reports. And they're giving prayer requests and praying for them.
Yeah.
Just you need to hear these young people. And then God bless you. You had a great day. I'm going to let you go. And maybe you want to have breakfast or whatever you want to do. Amen. Thank God for you. And hopefully we said something that will be a blessing to you. Is there anybody who was blessed today? I'm going to open the line. Maybe for 1 minute, amen, because I'm going to get some rest. So anybody want to express yourself, the line is open to you, amen, to do it 1 minute.
Good morning, this is Betty Johnson.
Right.
I really enjoyed the message this morning. God bless you. Stay encouraged.
Amen. That's First Lady. Thank you so much. Amen. That means a lot. A whole lot. Amen. All right, anybody else? We got about another 30.
Good morning. This is for Ambassador Dr. Teresa Fields from Penn, New Jersey. Chief, that was the message right on time, and I just thank the Lord for using you, and you continue to stay on the wall, and like your eminence say, the Lord is miraculous. I also want to tell you that little child that was praising the Lord last night, he's only 3 years old. That was my nephew. His name is Tyshaw.
And he was praising the Lord?
Yes.
I heard him.
Yeah.
That
was so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, the line's open to anybody else.
Go ahead. Right, Dr. Mercy from Corpus Christi, Texas. Truly enjoyed the message on this morning because it's really needed for such a time as this. Be encouraged, Chief Ambassador.
God bless you. Anybody else?
Dr. Gilbert Lee from Chicago, Illinois. Yes, Chief, that's the times that we're living in now, and thank the Lord for you for giving us that reminder that, you know, the whole world needs it, because it's like back in Moses' time, God is tired of what's going on, and he's angry, and he's showing the world that, you know, he's in control, and he's still on the throne. Encourage you. Love
you. God bless you. Thank you. Is there one more? All right. You've had a great time today. God bless you. You and you and you. God bless you. If somebody was trying to get off on mute, I could hear you. If so, we'll pause for a moment. Anybody? All right. God bless you. We love you, and we've had a great day. May you have, get you some rest. Amen. I'm going to get some rest. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you. I release you with this song here that tells you, blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day. You are dismissed. God bless you.